Welcome to Chi Alpha at the University of Virginia. This podcast is a collection of messages designed to help you grow in our three anchors of real devotional life, real community, and real responsibility.
We hope that you enjoy this message and that it encourages you in your spiritual growth.
I am excited. By the way, my name is Pete. If you're new to Chi Alpha, welcome. We are so excited that you are here. And I am going to bring the message for tonight to us, and we are in the middle of a series through the book of 1 Corinthians that we are calling Immersed, okay? And so last week I kicked off the series, and this was written to a church that was a mess. If you ever want to, if you ever feel like your life's a mess, read 1 Corinthians and you'll realize that you are not the first. And written to a church that was a mess. It was a church that had only known the gospel for 4 years. So imagine the elders of the church, the people who are most seasoned with Jesus, have only known him for 4 years. That's a young church, right? And so they are figuring out, what does it look like to follow Jesus in Corinth, as to be God's people, to live out their faith in a city called Corinth? And now let me tell you a little bit about Corinth. I went over this last week, so I'll just kind of do a quick overview. Corinth was a city that was seen as a business center. It was a port city. And so almost all the commerce of the region would go through Corinth. And it was less than 100 years old. The city was less than 100 years old. So it was kind of still seen as a land of opportunity. And so people would move there from all over. And as a result, it became this very cosmopolitan city. And so people would come into Corinth with great ambition, and they would bring their religion and their culture with them. And then Corinth already had pagan temples. And so it was a very cosmopolitan city. It was also a center for entertainment. It was every 2 years, it hosts the Isthmian Games, which are like only second to the Olympics. So people from all over the world would come into Corinth for these games every other year. And it was also known for its sexual promiscuity. Sexual activity ran rampant, and we'll talk about later in this semester how we know that, but we know that. It ran rampant through the city, and so you have all of these dynamics. Basically, Corinth is the modern-day New York City, Los Angeles, and Las Vegas all in one city. And this new church that is less than 4 years old is trying to figure out, how do you follow Jesus in the middle of this? How are you surrounded by the culture but immersed in Jesus? And so Paul writes them this letter. This church is struggling to figure this out, to teach them how to live this way. Now, what Paul has heard is this, and I'm just going to open up with these introductory remarks to get us up to speed, and then we'll go from here. What Paul's heard is this. Is that the church is widely divided, and here's why. Because in that day, the celebrities of Corinth were the philosophers, the rhetoricians. The Justin Biebers of their day were itinerant philosophers. And so what would happen is people would see themselves as cool by what itinerant philosopher they kind of latched onto, and being in the right crowd made them cool. They got their identity from that. And so what was happening is they brought that value right into the church. And now some are saying, I follow Paul. Others say, I follow Apollos. Others say, I follow Cephas. And they brought the culture into the church. And Paul hears about this, and the church is being widely divided. And Paul writes this letter saying, no, you can't just bring your culture into the church. And he kind of backs up from the issue at hand. He says, let me tell you why we live differently. And last week we looked at, the first reason is this, because the cross and cool don't go together. Cross and fool may go together, but not cross and cool. And so you can't try to be cool in your culture if you're a person of the cross. They don't go together. And number two, the fact that he saved you means that we can't try to use the church to be cool, because he didn't just save cool people. In fact, not many of you were of much standing, it says, before you were saved. Okay, so he gives us these reasons why we can't just look like the culture. Well, then he comes up and says, so that's why you want to be about Jesus. And that's why you want to follow Jesus and resolve to be like Jesus. Okay, and now he's going to do it again. He's going to dive back into the deep end of theology. And so take a deep breath, because here we go. Going to dive back into the deep end of theology, and he's going to come up and finish his argument. So we're going to build the second half of the framework. After this week, the rest of the weeks will be about very, very specific topics that are very, very specifically relevant at UVA. But we're building the framework this week. Okay, I have a question for you guys. Can you guys help me out and answer this question for me? Okay, just real quick question. What color is that dress? What color? Okay, hold on. What color is that dress? CJ, what color? Blue and black. That's what I'm talking about. Okay. I'm losing you. Okay, we're going to take a vote. How many people say, wait. How many people say that dress is blue and black? You would be right. No, okay. How many people say that is white and gold? White and gold, okay. Okay, so here's the question. How can we look at the very exact same picture and see massively different things? Well, the answer is science. I don't really know how. Well, here's the way. Watch me do science. Okay, so apparently some of you have learned to filter out oranges. Because you look at a lot of sunsets, you've learned how to filter out oranges, and so you see blue and black. And others of you have learned to filter out blue because you just like to lay on your back and look up at the blue sky, and so you see white and gold. And it's all about what you filter out. Now, how many people want to know what the right answer really is? It's blue and black. You're right. So it's blue. So, but how is it that we can look at the exact same thing and yet see something totally different? I want to propose to you that this happens all the time. See, what you consider wise, what you consider to be the right thing to do, is all about the lens that you look through your life through. And everybody here has a lens that you use to judge what is wise and what is foolish. Okay, let me give you some examples of lenses. First, I'll call these people, that they judge what is wise by how it will impact money. I'll call this the bottom line lens, okay? So they will look at a situation and they will ask questions that are driven by the bottom line. It'll sound something like this. They will say if something is wise based on what it will mean for their earnings potential. They will say if something is wise by how much money it will make them, or how much money it will save them, or how financially risky of a move that is, or what it will do to their 401k, which you're like, a 401 what? Yeah, all the comm schoolers know. Okay, so anyways, that's comm schooler. The point is, they view their life through the prism of how it will impact the bottom line of their life. And if it adversely impacts the bottom line of their life, then it would not be wise. So they're the people, they have the bottom line lens. That's the lens they look through their lives through. Okay, there's other people who have what I would call the convenience and comfort lens. So they will look through their life all about, will it bring a sense, a path of least resistance? Will it make them comfortable? Will it be convenient for their lives? What will be the easiest way? Well, I don't know if that's the easiest way. Or what would be the safest thing to do? Or what would be the most convenient thing to do? So for some of you, you chose your major by what class you wouldn't have to take. Right? Because it's all about the convenience lens. You're like, hey, I want that major because I don't have to take organic chemistry. You know what I'm talking about? That's why I was a comm schooler. You know, no organic chemistry in comm school. That was good, yeah. And so for some of you, you make choices based on what's convenient and comfortable. Okay, let's try one more lens. I would call this the Instagram lens, okay? You choose what is wise for your life based on if it's Instagrammable. Let me put it this way. On how people will esteem you if you choose that. Like so, if I make a decision A or decision B, what will people respect me? Will people esteem me? What will they think if I make that decision? How would it play on Instagram? So some of you chose your major based on the prestige of that major, the respectability of that major, the esteem of that major. Or if you didn't, you were very tempted to. Some of you will even buy something because of the brand, because you know other people respect and esteem that brand. Because it's the Instagram lens. You view your life by how other people will perceive it. Now, some of you just really like the brand, and other people like that people like the brand. You know what I'm talking about, right? The Instagram lens. And so you will decide what is wise based on its prestige, its esteem. In fact, some of you wanted to come to UVA because that would be esteemed. And it's a good life choice. You're here. I'm glad you're here. But prestige, esteem, and respectability. These are just three lenses that people use in our culture. They can look at the very exact same thing. Some would say that's foolish because you paid a premium. Other people say, no, that's wise because that's going to look awesome on Instagram. And other people would say, why would you drive that far to get that? That's not convenient, right? Are you guys following me? Okay. But here's the thing. What Paul's going to tell us today is when you start following Jesus, here's what happens. You get a brand new lens. Everybody else is going to see a white and gold dress, and you're going to see a blue and black dress. You're going to see right. Because something's going to happen to you when you start following Jesus. You're going to see things differently. And here's what's going to happen. As you start talking, sometimes people are going to give you the stink eyebrow. You know what I'm talking about? They're like, what in the world are you talking about? They're going to think you've gone a little crazy. They're going to look at you confused. They're going to say, they're going to look at you politely and nod their head and think, I have no idea what he's talking about. Because they don't see through your lens. Let's do a little test case. This week, I had an alum over who has been graduated for several years now, and he and his wife and his 8-month-old baby were over to our house for dinner, and he was telling us about what he's getting ready to do. And here's what he's getting ready to do. He's getting ready to go to the mission field. He quit a job that he liked. He said, I liked my job. He quit his job. And he and his wife and his 8-month-old are going to move to a country that is deemed by our government as one of the most dangerous countries in the world. He's taking his 8-month-old. He is also moving to a country where this week the high temperature ranges from 116 to 121. Oh, by the way, the power grid goes out daily in his town. Here's the question. Is he wise? Now, if you look at your life through a bottom line lens, you would say, that is not wise. If you look at your life through a convenience lens, you're like, definitely not wise. But is that right? Is that the right answer? I'm so glad you asked. Open your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And what Paul's going to do is Paul's going to show us the difference between looking through a cultural lens of wisdom and a Christ-centered, cross-driven lens of wisdom. And so, let me just ask this. Where do you think you get your lens from? Because here's what I found. You will either get your lens from your relationship to the world, or you'll get your lens from your relationship with Christ. You're ultimately going to get your lens from one of those two places. Okay, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 6. Lord, help us open our hearts by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 6 says this. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. So Paul says, we have wisdom, but it isn't what other people think wisdom is. It's a totally different type of wisdom. It's not wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age. Verse 7, no, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of the age of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, they lacked so much wisdom that they crucified the Lord of glory. Now, that's not very wise. How many people would agree with that? That's not what you want on your resume. Paul says we have a very different kind of, we have a very different lens. And then he tells us a difference between the two. He says, the difference is the trajectory that they're heading in. Did you guys catch this? It says, we don't have the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. That verse, or that phrase, coming to nothing, has rung in my ears for a decade. I can't tell you how many times I've watched the news and I've just thought to myself, coming to nothing. Like when somebody of great prominence realizes their mortality, and it's a very sad moment, and you realize that they too are coming to nothing. I remember when Steve Jobs died. I mean, he's impacted a lot of your lives, right? With a phone in your pocket, right? Yet, coming to nothing. What? So go ahead, put up the slide. What the Bible says is this, is that this age is coming to nothing, that the rulers of this age, the wisdom of this age, the lenses of this age, they're coming to nothing. But the wisdom of God that is expressed through the cross and following Christ, that wisdom is what? Destined for glory. They're going in two different directions. I was thinking about this, like, how could I best illustrate this? So whenever I was in college, I worked for this company called Sears. You guys ever heard of them? Yeah, I worked for them. I sold tires in college. And let me just put it this way. If you're an investor, let me give you a hot investment tip. You guys ready? Don't invest in Sears. Okay? Why? Coming to nothing. Pretty soon. I don't know when. The over-under's 2 years, I think, right? Coming to nothing. Sears is on its way down. If you're a wise investor, you would not go out and buy 100 shares of Sears stock. It's going the way of Toys R Us. May it rest in peace, you know. MySpace, you know. It's going to the land of MySpace, you know. Anyways, the point is this. Wise investors aren't putting their money in Sears. No, they're selling Sears and they're putting their money in Amazon, right? Why? Because the future of Amazon is good. Okay, if you work for Sears, please don't feel bad, okay? Anyways, Lord will help you. But the point is this. Paul is likening it to, like, if you try to synchronize with the culture, if you try to immerse yourself in the culture and reflect the culture, you are being a part of something that's coming to nothing. But if you will immerse yourself in Christ, if you will reflect Christ, you're immersing yourself in something that is destined for glory. He's saying, I don't care how sparkly the sinking ship is, don't get on it. Don't fall for it. It may sparkle, but it's going down. So the first thing that Paul tells us of why we live differently is because Jesus and his wisdom is destined for glory, but the rulers of this age and the wisdom of this age is coming to nothing. Number two, and this is where we get into the heart of the passage, we have a different source of wisdom. And Paul gets into this, and in verse 9, he says this, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Now, how many people have heard that verse before? No eye has seen, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. You ever heard that verse? Typically, we talk about that in relation to heaven. That's not about heaven. It's not wrong. I mean, you could use that for heaven. That's not about heaven. You know what that's about? The cross. That no one could imagine what God was going to do on the cross, but the Spirit revealed the glory of the cross to us, and we don't any longer see folly. We see wisdom. We don't see weakness. We see God's strength changing the world on the cross. So here's the point. Paul says this. The reason why we live differently and we have a very different lens is because we have a very different source of wisdom. We have a different source of our lens. What is the source of our lens? You guys ready for this? The Holy Spirit is the source of our wisdom. Paul says this. You were saved because the Holy Spirit revealed the glory of Jesus to your heart. That when everybody else was seeing folly, God opened your eyes by his Spirit and you saw the depth of your sin, the glory of Jesus on the cross, paying the price, taking the wrath for your sin, and your heart, your eyes were opened, and so you received Christ into your life. But that didn't just happen because you thought it was a good idea. The Holy Spirit initiated that. And when we understand that, then we'll be extremely grateful because we'll understand our salvation isn't our gift to God. It's God's gift to us. He's the one who opens our eyes. And then we trust him. And as we trust him, it's only because he opened our eyes first. And we will always know that his part is like 99.95% of it. And we just have this little response. Are you guys following me? When you understand that, you'll be incredibly grateful for the fact that the Spirit initiated your salvation. Well, then in verse 11 and 12, Paul says, just as you start, you continue. It doesn't just start with the Spirit opening your eyes. Then the Spirit gives you this lens by which you see everything differently. The disposition of your life changes to one from one that it thinks it's foolishness to one thinks it's wise, and you reorder your life by it. You start to value different things. You start to desire different things. You start to see the world very, very differently. Why? Because what the Spirit is doing. Then in verse 13, Paul says, and that's what I'm trying to tell you. It's about Spirit stuff. This is about stuff that comes from the Holy Spirit. I teach with spiritual words. This is Spirit-enlightened stuff. Okay, now hop into verse 14. So Paul says this. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. And cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Okay, so Paul says this. You know those times when you're talking to people about Jesus and they look at you with that eyebrow furrowed and think, I'm confused. Or you know those times when you say something that and maybe your parents don't know Jesus and your parents look at you and nod at you politely because they love you and they're like, I don't understand my son or my daughter anymore. You know those moments? The reason why is because they don't have the Spirit, and these things are only discerned by the Spirit. In other words, they don't have the same lens you have. They have a very, very different lens, and so they're not going to understand you. That's what Paul's saying. You have this lens from the Holy Spirit, and you see things very, very differently. Verse 15. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to mere human judgments. Well, that sounds interesting. In other words, because they don't have the same lens you have, you're not subject to their judgment. But you see things differently. You see things through the eyes of the Spirit. And so this is why you don't let them dictate to you how you should live and how you shouldn't live. Because you see through the eyes of the Spirit and you trust the Spirit and what he is teaching you more than what the culture is teaching you. Are you guys following me? And then Paul, as he dives into how we see totally differently because of the life of the Spirit, he summarizes it in verse 16. He says this, for who has the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? In other words, who is so wise that they can give God advice? And some of you are like, I've tried, right? And that's a fool's bargain. Okay. He says, but we have the mind of Christ. In other words, God is so wise. But here's what happens. By the Spirit, he gives you his wisdom so you can see the world differently through the Spirit. As I was preparing this, I was reminded of when my wife came to Christ when she was in college. Now, long story, but my wife had walked away from the church and called herself an agnostic, and then somebody came up to her on the equivalent to our lawn and asked if they could share the faith with her. And she's like, oh, don't worry about me. I'm a Christian. Just trying to get rid of them, right? And then they said, well, that's great. Can we pray with you? And she was stuck, right? Well, I guess I got to let them pray with me. I told them I'm a Christian, you know? So as they began to pray for her, the Spirit began to work to open her eyes to the gospel, to the goodness of Jesus in a way that she had previously rejected. And alone in her bedroom, in her dorm room, she submitted her life to Christ and started to trust Christ. Now, as a result of that, she was trying to figure out, what does this mean to follow Jesus? No one came and gave her a list. Here are the 7 things you need to do to follow Jesus. But as the Spirit had opened her eyes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit started giving her a new lens from which to see her life. And so here's what happened. She started to realize, wow, the things I used to desire, I don't desire that much anymore. And she started to realize that as a result of that, in this new lens, that she realized my weekend's probably going to need to look differently now. And so her relationship with alcohol changed. Why? Because somebody told her? No, she just knew from the lens of the Spirit, what the Spirit was doing in her, that her relationship with alcohol needed to change. Then her relationships with men needed to change. Why? Because somebody came and told her, because she listened to It's Not Complicated. No, she hadn't listened to any series. No, she just started to realize that the Spirit was teaching her that she needed to start to live out that area of her life differently. And then she was into some trashy romance novels, and she started realizing the Spirit was teaching her, you probably shouldn't be reading that. Why? Because someone, the Spirit was teaching her. Are you guys following me? That the Spirit was giving her a new lens and started to transform her desires and her values and her outlook on her own life and what her life should involve. And it was the work of the Holy Spirit transforming her from the inside out. And Paul says that's exactly what happens. That's what it looks like when the Spirit of God starts to be at work in your life. And so Paul is now going to come up from the deep waters of the theology of how the Spirit is the very source of your salvation, transforms your life. And then he says in verse 1 of chapter 3, so brothers and sisters, which he's like saying, you guys are in, don't worry about it. You know, I'm not that down on you, okay? But anyways, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. Oh man, Paul. He's like, you guys are living like you don't even have the Spirit. He's like, you're still on baby food. Something stunted your growth. You pulled on the emergency brake. Something happened. You're not progressing. You're not moving forward. He says, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you're not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You're still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? Ooh, are you acting like you don't even have the lens of the Spirit? Like the new life of the Spirit's not even in you? Are you acting that way? He says, for once, when one says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? Okay, Paul is not saying this because he's wanting to be mean. He's saying this. He's saying, why don't you use the new lens that God's given you? Why don't you embrace this new life of the Spirit and let the Spirit change you? Why are you trying to pull the old worldly lens in front of you and seeing it through this old worldly lens? No, the Holy Spirit is, you have something that they don't have. Don't try to go live in their lens. You have a different wisdom. Remember, theirs is coming to nothing. Remember, yours is moving you to glory. See, they were on spiritual milk. What is spiritual milk? Spiritual milk is this understanding of the faith where you see your faith just as a transaction. Well, I received Christ, and therefore I became a child of God. Therefore, I'm brought into his family. Therefore, I'm no longer under wrath. I'm under grace. And guess what? All of that is true. That's great. It's a powerful transaction. What Paul is saying, though, that's not the end. See, it's not just about a transaction. If you're taking notes, write this down. It's about a paradigm. The cross isn't just a transaction. The cross is a paradigm shift to where now all of your life, the lens of your life is seen through the lens of the cross. All of your life is seen through the lens of your faith in Christ. It's not just a transaction that you can kind of pull out of your wallet and say, see, I have the transaction. No, no, no. It's a paradigm. It's lenses that you wear. And now you can't see any aspect of your life outside of those lenses. You can't see your social life. You can't see your relationships. You can't see yourself. You can't see other people. You can't see any aspect of your future career. You can't see it outside of the lenses of this life that you now have in Christ. It is a whole new paradigm. Paul says that's the solid food when it permeates every aspect of your life. By the way, solid food isn't, well, once you learn the cross, we have some other doctrines for you that, let me show you the really good stuff. No, no, no. You never move beyond the cross. You just move further into the cross. Let me tell you a story, and then I have some questions, and we're done. I had the privilege of walking with a young man who was an atheist, and he'd graduated from Chi Alpha. He knew a lot of people. Graduated from UVA. Knew a lot of people in Chi Alpha. His roommate, his first year was in Chi Alpha, and so he had a lot of Chi Alpha friends. But he was an atheist, and he, very, very smart. Graduated in 2.5 years, and then started a couple businesses. Had sold some of those businesses. Like, I mean, this is a real deal, right? Like, pretty sharp dude. And we would have breakfast or lunch together, depending on the day. And we probably had meals together for a couple years. I really don't remember exactly, but probably a couple years. And we would talk about Jesus. And I would gradually watch the Spirit start to open this atheist's eyes. And the glory of Jesus, I remember one time asking him, are you ready? And we sat there in silence for like 30 seconds. You want to talk about thick silence. We were over at Fry Springs Station. And I was like, are you ready to accept Christ? Well, a few months later, we walk into the Italian Villa to have a breakfast. We sit down. And he says, I've started to trust Jesus. I mean, people have been reaching out to him for years, and I watched his eyes just gradually open. I thought, oh, he's so close. And then the Holy Spirit just revealed the glory of Jesus to him. And he said, I'm starting to trust Jesus. And I remember I sat there in the booth of the Italian Villa, and I said this. I said, your life's about ready to change in ways you cannot imagine. Fast forward, year and a half later, he says, hey, Pete, you said whenever I told you that I received Christ that my life's getting ready to change in ways I couldn't imagine. He's like, those words were so true. He looked back over what God had been doing since that moment, and he realized he was valuing different things. He was seeing the world differently. He was desiring different things, and Jesus was changing his heart. Folks, this is what the Spirit does in your heart when the Spirit of God is in you, and if that's not happening, there's something sick, there's something off, there's something wrong, because that is what the Spirit does. He changes us and gives us a whole new lens. And today, this person is married to another Jesus follower, and he is Jesus-centered. And some of you in here, you're not a follower of Jesus. Let me just say this. You are surprised you find yourself tonight on a Monday night at the University of Virginia at a Christian meeting. And you're like, how did that happen? I'll tell you how that happened. Yeah, it may have been so-and-so who reached out to you. Yeah, it may have been somebody who came and knocked on your door because somehow you signed up for something you don't remember signing up for, but they showed up. And anyways, yeah, maybe. Let me tell you how it happened. The Spirit of God is drawing you. and he's opening up your eyes to the glory of Jesus. And can I encourage you? Soak it in. He's revealing the glory of Jesus that will change your life. Soak it in. And when you do, when you place your trust in what the Spirit is drawing you towards, what will happen is you won't understand it all the very first day. But as you walk with him, he will begin to transform you from the inside out. You'll start to see your world differently, and you will cross over from that which is coming to nothing to that which is coming into glory. That is what happens when you follow Jesus. If that's you tonight, will you open your heart to Jesus? See his glory. In this moment, you sense the Spirit of God working on your heart. Tonight can be your night. I'm going to call the worship team up. As they come up, can you allow me to keep your attention for just a couple minutes while I ask you some questions? There's going to be some movement, but please stay focused. First, question number one. Honestly answer me this question. Where do you get your lens? Honestly, do you get your lens of how you see your life and how you see the world? Do you get that lens from your relationship with the world, or do you get that lens from your relationship with Christ? Honestly, where do you get your lens? Secondly, I have another question for you. Where have you seen the Spirit's work in your life? I mean, if you look at what the Holy Spirit has done in your life, where have you seen the Spirit's work in your life? What have you seen him change and transform in glorious ways? I want you to think of it. This isn't a rhetorical question. Think of it. And here's what I want you to do. Let's just stop for 10, 15 seconds and say, thank you. Thank you, Spirit. Lord, thank you for the work of the Spirit in our lives, for where you're transforming us from the inside out. We say thank you for moving us from what is coming to nothing to what is coming to glory. Thank you. We heard a powerful story. CJ shared his story of transformation. What a powerful story of what the Holy Spirit can do. Let's be grateful. Let's celebrate it. I have one more question for you. Where do you still need to mature? Where do you need to see the Spirit at work in your life? We all have areas. I'm keenly aware of areas in my life I still need the Spirit to transform in me. And then the follow-up question is this. It's like, when will you open that area of your heart to him? Like, when will you expect to become mature? When will there be a sense of urgency? When will there be a sense of seriousness about that? Like, will we wait till it's a crisis and our life has fallen apart and people have to gather around us because we're brokenhearted? Will it be when we have kids and we start to realize the ripple effects are going to be far larger, or you find somebody you think you may marry and you realize, oh no, this is going to impact? When will we get serious and open this area? And I encourage you now, when you're surrounded by brothers and sisters who say, let's do it. Let's walk together. Let's follow Jesus. Let's set our gaze upon him. And let's go from the milk and let's get into the solid food. Will you stand with me? because I believe that the Spirit initiates salvation, I'm going to do something tonight. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads for just a moment. If you are here tonight and you sense that the Spirit of God is opening your eyes to the glory of Jesus, and you recognize your own sinfulness, and you recognize what He did for you on the cross, and you want to place your trust in Him tonight, tonight can be your night in the present working of the Holy Spirit. If that is you, will you just raise your hand? I'm going to look. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Yes, I see that hand. Yep. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. Will you join me in this prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for what you did on the cross through Jesus. I see the glory of my sin being paid for. I see the glory of your love. Thank you for opening my eyes by your Spirit. By faith, I receive your work. And I place my trust in you. Now I open my heart to your Spirit. Transform me. Move me from coming to nothing to coming into your glory. Give me a new lens for your glory and my joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you guys sing with me as we close tonight? I want to do something. If you're comfortable, if there is something that came to your mind that you want the Spirit to be at work in, to bring you to maturity, to transform, I want you just to cup your hands in front of you symbolically, offering that area of your life and saying, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to tinker there. I tear down the walls. I give you permission to transform this. Lord, as these offerings are given, as these areas are surrendered and offered to your glorious grace and your power, I pray that you would do a marvelous work, that you would change desires, that you would reorient perspectives, that you would give power to be victorious and to bring healing and to bring wholeness, whatever it is that's needed. Do the work that only you can do. Thank you that you are the one who transforms us. In Jesus' name. May God bless you and keep you. May He make His face shine upon you. May He be gracious to you and turn His countenance towards you. And may He give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, who gives you a new power and lens to live by. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you for listening to the Chi Alpha at the University of Virginia podcast. For more information, you can visit our website, xaatuva.com.